I just want to say how funny it is that you motherfuckers are so racist against fucking Eastern Europeans, and you're like, we're going to get rid of these goddamn Eastern European immigrants, and then you did it, and you replaced them all with Indians and Pakistani people. That's the funniest fucking shit in the world to me, okay? And
okay, wait, hold on.
Yeah?
I want to know who the fuck you get your information from.
Am I not wrong?
Whispers in your ear about European, okay? Because I swear to God, some of your takes on European shit are like,
am
wow.
I not
like,
wrong?
Some of them fine.
Hold on.
Wait, no. There is no hate for Eastern Europeans in the UK. Like, Polish people
Polish
are like the biggest,
seasonal
like...
work.
Carnu is ostensibly a moderate. He's a neoliberal economist. He was in the Bank of England. He was in the Bank of Canada.
Carnu's not doing anything.
He's doing so much. He's building...
This guy is just going to a bunch of countries. He has no power. I hate you fucking people. You guys who like say Carney is gonna like fucking bring on the change of the world. They are a landlocked country. The next pipeline to fucking, you know, for TMX expansion is gonna take fucking 20 years, and it's gonna take indigenous people fucking standing in front of the things being like, nope, you're not doing anything.
Wrong.
Stepping on
wrong.
Our fucking like
wrong.
Fucking spiritual
wrong.
Grounds, okay? There is nothing Carney can do. He can't do anything. All he can do is just even make inflation worse.
So much.
No, he is not.
Have you seen any of the bills he's been fucking passing for the housing shortage?
I don't give a shit about the bills! You are controlled!
I'm here to give you guys big career advice. If you are running for office, you gotta be a fucking clown. You gotta be a fucking clown, alright? Work on your jokes, do some stand-up, because literally nobody gives a fuck about anything besides that. Nobody fucking cares. The Tories fucking raped this dog shit fuck country for 13 years, okay? I think Boris and May were prime minister for like 5 years each. Cameron, I think, was prime minister for longer. Brexit's and then dips! Fucking up the country for like 15 years, okay? Keir Starmer gets in. It's kind of sort of making a sort of even. Get him out of here! Why isn't it perfect? What's going on? Get the fuck out! Get out of here! Resign! Keir Starmer, get him! Reform! If I was British, I would kill myself. Holy fuck. This country is so fucking crazy. You guys are actually fucking insane, and you deserve everything that happens to you. Holy
shit. Yeah,
those
retards got tricked by a fucking bus, dude.
I can't even imagine how fucking loony the insanity is. But good luck.
A fucking bus, dude.
Good luck. Oh, hi. Before you come in and well actually me on 52 different statistics, why you think the UK isn't getting better? Do you think that a reform government is going to outperform the current Labour government? You know that's the direction your country's headed, right? You know you guys are. You're going reform, right?
Yeah.
You think the reform, is it going to be Farage, or are they going to have another prime minister? Who's it going to be?
I don't fucking know.
You think that's going to be better than giving Labour like a couple more years to try to catch up?
No. But you can't exactly say that, like, it's our fault when our whole policy is decided by Trump. Like, nothing we do matters. There is no political will to do anything in our country, right? And then you have Trump going around tariffing, fucking destroying the world with, like, massive energy prices. There's nothing a UK fucking PM can do. He has, like, the...
Yeah, I understand that, but when the Conservatives come in, they're not going to have any agency, and for some reason, they're not going to be treated like it's their fault. But for some reason, because Starmer... Listen... Maybe because you could get me, because you're the only politically involved fucking bonger. But every single time I hear bongers talking about Starmer, like, oh yeah, Keir, horrible PM. Oh my God, current party is terrible. Why don't you like him?
I don't think he's bad.
Why don't you like him?
No, okay,
the problem
is this,
I just don't like the way that he speaks. I need a fucking clown. I need Boris in his wacky fucking hair, okay? I need to watch the trains in his hair. I need some wacky shit, bro. It's the most retarded engagement with politics that I've ever seen in my entire life. It's like MAGA had an incest baby with itself. And birth, whatever the fuck Farage's goofy ass is, and then all of the resulting weird political parties that are now forming in your country as a result of that.
The problem is this, right? There is no... Everyone, like, assumed that because we have, like, a massive mandate and when Labour won, it means that we actually had a massive mandate. We didn't. And this is, like, similar to what happened, like, what I think would happen, maybe happen in America, is that, like... All that happened is that the Tories destroyed the country for like 15 years and it accumulated into Brexit. It was disastrous. And everyone kind of just realized that after, you know, Rishi Sunak and Lettuce Lady. And they were like, okay, so we got to vote Labour. Labour just wins. And then everyone was like, oh, it's just fine. We're fine now. Like, we have Labour. We can save the country. But then there's still a massive political, like, divide. There's still two huge
divergent, I understand
like,
that. And
so
I
no one can
this
do
is my issue. This is what I hate about everything in the world right now, okay? Is that we just don't have real political conversations about anything, okay? Because, like, if you want to take a right-wing approach to UK populism, or I'm sorry, to UK politics, or you want to take a left-wing approach, whatever, that's fine. But, like, when I listen to these reform fucking retards talk, and it's like, I think they even tried, it was on, like, the city council level or whatever, but what was the fucking, oh my God, what did you fucking call it? Oh God, I'm getting triggered on my mind. It was the UK version of, like, it was a British version of DOGE applied to some local levels. Yeah. And it obviously didn't work. And it's all this, like, we're just going to find the waste, the fraud, and the abuse. Okay, we're going to get rid of the immigrants somehow. Although, holy fuck, I just want to say how funny it is that you motherfuckers are so racist against fucking Eastern Europeans, and you're like, we're going to get rid of these goddamn Eastern European immigrants. And then you did it, and you replaced them all with Indians and Pakistani people. That's the funniest fucking shit in the world to me, okay? And
okay, wait, hold on.
Yeah?
I want to know who the fuck you get your information from.
Am I not wrong?
Whispers in your ear about European, okay? Because I swear to God, some of your takes on European shit are like,
am
whack.
I not
like,
wrong?
Some of them fine.
Hey, hold on.
Wait, no. There is no hate for Eastern Europeans in the UK. Like, Polish people are like the biggest...
Seasonal,
like,
workers, and all the complaints about these people getting free pass into Brexit and you guys not being able to control
whoa. Okay,
The Brexit complaint about border controls wasn't about brown people going to your country. It was about people from Europe coming into your country. Eastern Europeans.
Yeah. Let me speak. My dad is like a massive pro-Brexit person, okay? And he's like a closet racist. And so the problem is that from the outside perspective, it's like...
Wait. When you say closet racist, you mean like the closet with clothes or the water closet? Just making sure it's probably the same.
Water closet, Bob.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just didn't get that meme. Like Nigel and Boris and all those retards managed to really do, or the people behind them, I guess, is that they managed to basically align the European Union with the kind of, like, what you were talking about, the Middle Eastern and bad Asian country immigration. And they kind of, like, launched it around the kind of, because the Syrian stuff that happened, and all the migration, they combined those two things together, and they managed to basically put the onus on European Union for having, like, the bad actor, like, immigration. There is no actual hate in the UK for Eastern or European, like, immigrants. Obviously, we are racist towards each other in some aspect, but there is no general, like, populist hate towards them. They like, similar to how Trump is able to kind of combine things into an overarching thesis that aren't actually combined, and then, like, advertise that and market to the people, and they can kind of
if you want to rebrand this as though, like, it wasn't, like, purely racism against Eastern Europeans, and it was more
it was racism, but it wasn't against Eastern Europeans.
Was there not a fixation on, like, Polish people and Romanians going a lot to the United Kingdom? When you look at I've looked at the numbers of the Eastern European to UK immigrant shit, and it was, like, spiking fucking massively on the Eastern European people. I think it was.
Yeah.
But this was a huge spike of immigrants. And then after the Brexit, those guys completely fall off, and then it gets replaced by Pakistanis
and
Indians.
My problem here is like, I don't know what aspect you're trying to combat from, because, like, I remember Brexit. I was, like, watching all that happen. I wasn't able to vote then, but, like, the I remember watching it happen. I've gone through a lot of the, like, the information, like, in 2020. I was interested in it because I was depressed. I don't understand. There was no, like, I don't think you can find, like, Boris and Nigel and even...
Wait,
like,
can,
like,
I ask? I swear to God, because, you listen, I immediately admit this and can see this, okay? You know more about British culture and everything than I do, because I'm American, okay? But just curious, how old are you?
I'm 25.
No. Okay. The only reason I ask this... I don't remember everybody's fucking age, okay? Jesus.
Yeah, but you know I'm young. What the fuck?
I don't know how young, okay? So, was Brexit 2016?
I'm 12.
Shut up. It wouldn't surprise me if from, like, in the past, like, 5, 6, 7 years that you don't hear much, like, anti-Eastern European racism in the UK, that, like, tone has significantly decreased. That wouldn't surprise me that much. And it's been replaced
I'm not talking about that, though. No. I remember around that time in, like, Brexit, there was so much racism towards brown people. Like,
but the massive inflows of immigrants that they were complaining about
What I'm saying is that they weren't actually, they were doing what Trump did. They weren't actually, like, they managed to take the, like, the real thing and change it into a different narrative. Like, the Polish, Romanian, like, German, French, not French and German, they were lowest, but, like, the those type of, like, immigrants, like, there is no hatred towards those type of immigrants in the UK, and there wasn't back then. But what they managed to do is they managed to change that narrative into these numbers are brown people. Right? And no one gave a shit enough. Like, I remember some fucking insane, like, this is also combined with, like, the idea that we were giving too much to the European Union, when that was not true at all. Like, they took all the narratives, like, the headline narratives, like, this was literally Trump's, like, thing, and then they turned it into something else. It wasn't, like, none of the actual, like, arguments they were making, like, the Turkish people, I think, was, like, a...
It's not about whether or not... I don't know what we're even arguing right now. You're saying that, like... There was some hate, but it, like, wasn't accurate? As in, am I going to argue that...
Well, you're saying it was aimed towards Eastern Europeans. I don't remember ever seeing any of that. Even to, like, people...
There were
no
Polish, like, trucker jokes and Polish plumber jokes and Eastern Europeans coming in and stealing all the fucking cheap work and all this bullshit. None of that. None of that was a real thing. That was all just memes.
I mean, there might have been, but I don't remember them staying at the top of... Like, would you say, like, like, okay, I can't think of one right now. But, like, imagine, like, Trump, all of, like, Trump's anti-immigration stuff. And then, like,
I do
imagine,
remember.
Like,
I know that the Syrian stuff was a big deal. Somebody posted a thing in chat. And I remember seeing this stupid fucking thing where you see, like, the... Because the term would always be fighting age men. But you see, like, the lines of brown people on the fucking road and they're all coming to the UK. Sure. But I think that one of the big things was controlling immigration in general. The majority of the immigration, I think, was still coming from, Eastern European countries. Okay, I don't even know what we're arguing about right now. What are we arguing?
Well, I mean, I came in to say that you're retarded for saying that, like, of course our country is going to be in limbo, like, because, you know, the whole of the Western world is. We're just in, like, we're all just at the mercy of whatever America does, because you guys have just decided to be, like,
sure.
The
I'm not
going to
disagree with you on that, though. Deciders. I just don't like that every single country on the planet seems to have this idea that when the left comes in to fix things, it has about 312 days...
Though.
What?
They can't fix anything. They can't do anything.
Well,
because
I mean,
there's no mandate.
Hold on. So at least for the Constantine debate, the stuff I was doing the most was like the immigration research. But it seems like for the immigration stuff, it seems like that the labor was largely working through all of the fucking boat backlogs. They were reducing the amount of people that were boating over illegally, that the inflows of immigrants were substantially decreasing, that everybody thought it was going to be a million plus, and the number had fallen by like 60% to like, I don't know what, like 300,000 from 750,000 the prior year. So like they were working on that economically and everything. I don't know how much fucking progress could even be made anywhere in the world right now. But the fact that it's like a year and a half for labor, and now the country's like, holy shit, this isn't working. We got to go back to the last 15 years of even crazier conservatives. They'd have the same fucking people. Farage was UKIP. There is the same people
that
are all coming back.
Your argument here is literally like, why are people doing retard things in a time of like massive inflation? It's like, this is literally every single time ever. Like,
What I'm asking is, how did people survive for...
Because they're fucking stupid!
No.
The same, like...
Here's what I'm fucking telling you. You fucking bong fuck, okay? If Keir Starmer was the prime minister when you guys rolled out was it AstraZeneca or whatever?
Yeah.
He would have been fucking guillotined in the street. But because it was fucking Boris Johnson, and because you guys have no fucking... Anybody cares about what conservatives do, he was prime minister for fucking, like, 5 years. I don't think a Labour PM would have survived for 3 days. There would have been one AstraZeneca death, and they would have fucking hauled this guy off to France for execution. It seems like every single time anything happens under a Liberal ever, it's immediately the Liberal fault. They gotta get rid of the government, they gotta change out, and then they go back to the same dog-shit conservatives.
Because liberals are giving hard... No one wants... Everyone wants easy solutions.
You're missing
answers.
What I'm saying, motherfucker. I understand that people want easy solutions, but conservatives get such a long leash. Why?
Because they will say they can
they
give
don't do
the
anything,
easy
though,
solutions.
But they don't do
but
it.
But they don't do it. Yes, they don't do anything, but they keep saying it. And that's all that matters, because people just want to hear. They
okay,
want to hear the. They
I
want
agree.
To hear
wait,
that
wait,
it's
I agree.
Being fixed.
I agree. Then you shouldn't be mad at me, because my advice at the very beginning, at the top of the hour, was if you want to be an elected politician, you got to act like a fucking clown. And that's
oh, okay,
matters.
Okay.
That
sorry, yeah, yeah. If
you
want to be an elected
politician, you keep saying that conservatives
like
have this long leash. Where is the long leash? They went through like 5 people in, what, like 3 years?
Oh, my bad. You got me. My bad. They got through 5 conservative prime ministers over and over and over again. My bad. Oh my God. That must be crazy for conservatives to have your parties PM over and over and over again, but you have to different one. That's horrible. Dude, if I was conservative, I think I would kill myself.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I love how you're like, yeah, no, I prefaced first that, like, if you want to have a good thing, you got a good thing. But these countries are all retarded for, like, you know, being retarded in a situation where you're completely fucked. What do you want us to do, bro? Do you want us to, like, just become liberal? Like,
I just don't know why it seems
like
in every country.
Your whole point is that America.
No, I just don't know why in every country.
America owns the world.
I understand that. I just don't know why in every country, and it happens in America too, okay? So for however much I complain about your country, it's 12 times as bad over here, is that...
Yeah, and that's going to translate to us.
When liberals are in power anywhere, but for some reason, it never seems to apply to conservatives. I just don't know
why. You guys have to set the example. You guys have to set the example.
We have to set the example that you have to hold all of your politicians accountable?
No. The policy example. We cannot, like, the only thing the European Union or, like, our area of the world can do is just, like... add more regulation and policy. There is no willingness at all to, like, make inroads or, like, push the frontier anywhere. There is none. America has to do it or no one does it in the West. It's just as simple as that. And if America isn't doing it, if you're going backwards from doing it, then we are going to be ultra fucked because we can't go anywhere without you giving us a direction. So if you just set us on this path to, like, limbo land, then all we're gonna do is just go keep going in circles, right? And we'll keep fucking ourselves,
okay,
and you'll keep fucking everyone up even more.
Okay, I don't even know what we're disagreeing about. Okay,
I just don't like your sentiment. You're just like...
What don't you like about my sentiment? You don't like it either. You seem to not like...
You're the ones that are fucking us! It's your fault!
I agree.
You need to fix your shit, okay?
You're your own country, though. You can be better. You have to lead for us.
No,
okay?
We can't!
America's lost. We're lost right now, okay? We need you guys to find yourselves so that we can find ourselves.
Why can't you guys just be... Why can't you guys just be Canadian and elect Carney, the conservative
for
10 years, Trudeau, and then... Yeah, I'm just saying.
Canadian supremacy.
The conservatives had... No, the Conservative Party in Canada had the biggest seat lead in the history of our country. They fucking lost anyways. So I'm just saying, lock in, guys, lock in.
Unironically, it does seem to be the exact opposite of there, because I heard everybody, but I don't actually know how true it is, but I heard people complain about Trudeau for fucking ever, and this guy's been prime minister for, like, my whole fucking life. Holy shit.
But like, even Poilievre is not the clown,
your,
like, isn't the clown,
screen,
like, fucking Farage. And British people elect fucking clowns instead of even the normal conservatives. Canadians,
true,
at least,
just vote
get
harder.
Olivier.
Just vote harder. Yeah, exactly. Just vote
and,
harder.
What do you think is on the tweet on your screen to be saying about the Labour MPs calling for Starmer to resign? What did you understand that to mean?
I think they're unhappy about the wave of the local elections that just happened, where Reform seem to be winning a lot of seats, and so they think that if they swap out Keir with another fucking Labour PM, that magically that's going to assuage the whole British population's fears about Labour, and Reform's not going to have some huge fucking national win in the upcoming national elections. What the fuck those are?
Yes, so it's the exact same thing that the Conservatives kept doing like five times. How is it any different? Yeah, I mean, you're saying that there's a different... Like,
well, because my understanding is
on a leash.
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you for representing what the chatter said, that when Labour swaps a PM, it'll be another PM. The difference is that the Conservatives kept winning their elections. My understanding is, and I could be wrong, and I hope I will be wrong or whatever, is that it looks like right now Reform is, like, slated to have a pretty good performance in the upcoming elections. Like, that seems to be the case. Is that not the case? That seems to be the huge fucking fear right now.
The general elections are 3 years away, so I mean, who knows them? But yeah, for now they are prevailing
win. It's
projected
for like 300 plus seats. Yeah.
That seems to be pretty spooky. No.
I mean, I don't think it matters, honestly. I think the problem is with, like, as I said before, is if until the left in the, like, Europe at least, gains, like, some populist movement, and we go radical mode, we're just going to keep losing to the
what is the,
right,
what, is, well, what is the requirement in the UK to call your snap elections or whatever?
Oh, the PM has to do that. To do, like, a referendum, like, for a new prime minister, the PM has to do that.
If the party, if people swap...
There's no way in hell.
If people swap or parties swap and you lose your majority government, can you lose your prime ministership that way, or how does that work over there?
They have to defect from the party. Like, they have to vote.
So then you would just, you'd lose your majority. Okay.
They're not doing that.
You know what?
But I don't understand how you can say that Farage being slated to win in 3 years doesn't matter. This is like giving me flashbacks to 2016. People for years were talking about how Brexit will never happen. How
that's
it
not
was
my
like
point, you idiot. I'm saying it doesn't
mirage.
Matter because we don't know what's going to happen in 3 years, and it's the same as talking about who the fuck's going to win in 2028 for, like, America. Like, I don't give a shit about what happened in 3 years. I care about what happens now, okay? There's a fucking massive energy crisis happening right now. We're all gonna fucking maybe go into a recession, and Trump doesn't give a shit. He's going to China. Like, why the fuck would I give a shit what happens in 3 years?
You're chilling.
those things are connected. What happens now is what will make their victory in 3 years. And this is the road that you are on right now.
Thank you, Bray. Thank you for amazing.
Metalloid.
Wait, do you remember?
Excuse me, you were the one that.
Do you remember when McConnell, at the end of 2021, I don't know how many people know this, but President Trump was impeached in the House, and they had the votes in the Senate to convict him. But McConnell thought it'd be really unpopular, so they made up some bullshit excuse thinking he would never run again. So they didn't actually convict him. And they said, well, we don't know if we can convict him because he's already out of office. And guess what happened in 2021?
What agency do we have compared to that situation?
What agency do you have compared to that situation? What do you mean?
You act as if there's just like, oh, we take a vote and then suddenly everything's better because Trump's now actually impeached. No, we can't just like, oh, we decide that everything's suddenly better again. And
no,
we've avoided the crisis.
It's just irritating that it feels like there's this ultimate level of hate. Do you think that Keir Starmer has fucked up so much that he needs to resign as prime minister and that somebody else from Labour is going to step up and do a significantly better or a better at all job?
I honestly think there is I only think if Keir Starmer steps down, and this is what happened with the Tories, it's just changing the front face. They desperately want some sort of luck to get some sort of mandate to do anything, but the reality is, as I just said, nothing's going to happen until they go populist mode. And if they're not willing to, there is no will, because the moderates control the left. The same as in America, where you guys are forever cucked, never been able to do anything, because the moderates are slamming down appeasement on you forever to never go too hard against the Republicans. That's the same here, where we can't go further. We are blocked because the moderates control us, right? So the left are just like, well, no one likes Keir Starmer, time to put a new face in. It's like, well, no one likes this new guy, time to fucking replace him. And it's just that over and over and over again. Because, yeah, until the moderates fucking capitulate, that's just what we're going to keep doing.
Damn, he walked away. No, I think you guys should just be Canadians. Carney was ostensibly a martyr. He's a neoliberal economist. He was in the Bank of England. He was in the Bank of Canada.
Carney's not doing anything. So like,
he's doing so much. He's building.
Yeah, this guy is just going to a bunch of countries. He has no power. I hate you fucking people. You guys who say Carney is going to fucking bring on the change of the world. They are a landlocked country. The next pipeline to fucking, for TMX expansion is going to take fucking 20 years. And it's going to take indigenous people fucking standing in front of the things and be like, nope, you're not doing anything. Stepping on our fucking, fucking spiritual grounds, okay? There is nothing Carney can do. He can't do anything. All he can do is just even make inflation worse.
So much. Have you seen any of the bills he's been fucking passing for the housing shortage?
I don't give a shit about the bills! You are controlled by a set of things and your economy, okay? Your exports, your imports, okay? And your productivity and those sets of things, okay? He has no power to do any of those things because you have Trump, who is destroying the fucking, the world economy every 3 months, okay? And then you have a landlocked economy. He cannot make an export market. It does not exist outside of services. No one's ever going to switch to fucking Canadian services, okay? No one's going to switch to fucking Microsoft, Amazon, or Google services.
What does landlocked economy mean? I don't understand what you mean by that.
Landlocked means there's no way you're going to turn, you're not going to lots of people, when they're they get a very popular government, say we're going to increase our exports, or we're going to make more trade, trade things with people. There is no ability to do that with other countries, because Canada doesn't have any export capacity outside of its, mineral base and oil.
Yes.
And the oil expansion is not changing for decades. The TMX expansion was the last one that finished, and that took 20 years to build. It is! I keep up with this so much more than any of you. You see headlines, and then you see people going, him going to other countries and being like, yeah, we made this new trade deal with, XX country.
Yeah, you're way out of line.
No, you're not. You can't get me to it.
I live where the oil is made. I keep up with this shit. They're obviously going to fucking make some ground, make some progress. Yeah, the First Nation stuff is going to put
that doesn't matter. It takes 20 years to make a pipeline in Canada. You can't, even if you, speed run this shit, okay? The local governments have way too much power. You can't just federally veto shit that, okay? I was literally up to date on the TMX pipeline building every day because I was invested in Canadian equities. And watching that shit was a clown show, okay? It is never going to happen. You're never going to become a major export. You're always going to be a cuck. Or Canada is always going to be a cuck to America.
We're not
going to
get
always
cucked.
Going to happen.
We're going to the European Union, buddy. We're going to the European Union.
Yeah, no one in Europe is going to buy your shit.
Oh, you'd rather buy Russian oil while they're bombing fucking Ukrainians every fucking day? What are you talking about?
What do you mean? No, we're just going to buy American oil because they can actually export it. Okay, that's just the truth. That's what's going to happen. And you don't have any services that we want to buy, so your trade deals are moot, okay? You can't just fucking, like, magic, like, economic activity out of thin air. It's stupid. I hate all these people. These liberal retards are like, Carney is the incoming grace of us all. He's a very good speaker, okay? He's a very good speaker. And he knows exactly what to say. He's got a very big mandate from his people for now until, you know, inflation comes back and he's fucked again. Or people realize house prices are not going down because home builders are not going to build more because they need incentives to, and you cannot give them to them in Canada, okay? All these things are like structural things. And these are the reason why we are in a populist brainwashed narrative right now, where Republicans and conservatives keep taking control, because you can't just magic these problems out of thin air. They are part of the system now, and we need an actual, like, we need America, ideally, to come in and say, okay, we've had problems for the last 30 years. We have a bunch of people genuinely have actual real problems, and they are translating to political will, and we need to fix them, rather than just saying, oh, we're going to make, you know, inflation down, or oh, we're going to make house prices cheaper. Like, I just fucking hate this shit.
Listen, I don't know how you're shitting on my glorious country when you're literally going to elect a fascist in 3 years. Triple ass. What did Farage say about, like, Pakistanis? What do you say? Can I get a recap on that?
Why do Canadians elect moderates and British people elect people who are going to run them into the ground every 10 years?
Because we're better. We're just better people. We just actually vote correctly.
If they're as fucked as the UK, why is that happening? Why can they choose Carney, you go for Farage?
Well, because the situation in the UK is probably a bit more financially dire than the situation in Canada.
Well, no, you can check. You can do...
Wait, do you disagree with what I just said?
You guys... I disagree. Yeah.
Do you think that the average, like, working class or middle class person in the UK is doing better than the average working class or middle class person in Canada?
Okay, I think that there's a very simple dynamic, and I disagree with what you said in terms of the application onto, like, politics. I think the simple answer is that Trump is very disliked because of his massive, like, aggressive stance towards Canada and the way that their sovereignty
what does that have to do with
kind of encroached upon. Okay, because he asked how come they can invite, they can put Carney in and then we're doing Farage. Is that not the thing that we're going off right now?
Well, yeah, Bodies, but I'm just saying that, like, I feel like if the situation is a bit more hopeless feeling, then I think I can understand a little bit more why people might be a bit more desperate in British politics to elect somebody more. That the Syrian refugee crisis was rough, that your guys' economic conditions seem to be a lot more sensitive to war in Europe. Like, I think the Russian... I could be wrong, I'm rich now, so I don't care, but I don't remember the Ukraine-Russia war. I know that, like, gas prices spiked a bit in the U.S., but, like,
it was
you guys...
fucking low.
Well, you say that, but looking at, like, I remember when Canute and other Europeans were complaining about their energy bills, it seems like a lot of Europe got fucking raped for, like, an entire season on utilities. And we had, like,
that was the biggest reason why the Republican or the Conservatives lost.
Sure. Yeah. We had high gas prices, I think, for a bit. And Europe utility bills were, like, from 90 euros for a month of heat to, like, 1,000 euros for a month of heat. It was, like, insane shit. So it seems like the situation is a bit more precarious over there. And then plus, you all have all your other conflicts going on and everything else. Over here, it's just Canada and the United States, and we're really, like, the only two people over here, and we throw up a lot of fake bullshit problems, and that's what Trump runs on. But in the UK, I feel like there are problems that are a bit more real than what we have over here. That's just the feeling.
Yeah, but you have to remember that the problems that, like, so, like, when I talk about, like, the structural problems, they all come from, like, a general kind of theme, where it's that, like, we are all in a kind of period where population's growth are kind of, like, reaching, like, plateau kind of growth rates, and the productivity and, like, you know, economical gains are kind of becoming a lot different than what they used to be, right? So the problem is that, like, there's, like, that translates into a lot higher, you know, inequality and less housing being built, so people find it harder to kind of move.
Nah,
up
I don't buy this.
Like,
I this is a problem.
This
I,
is a general thing around
the entire
Western
world.
Economies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think Destiny's but the whole a mixture of right and wrong. Like, the immigration stuff, like the Syrian crisis, didn't really hit the UK that hard. In fact, what the biggest issue in terms of immigration is after 2020 that we've got a lot more non-EU citizens coming into the UK, and that immigration is pissing.
Sure, but even I would say off. Even on that, like you can say it didn't hit the UK that hard, but however hard it hit you guys, one, it hit you harder than it hit America, which has no immigration issues, despite how much we like to pretend we do. Number one, and number two, you guys saw your neighbors have a great deal of discourse about it. There was a whole bunch of talk in Germany. There was a ton of issues in Sweden.
It's a rhetorical thing, but
well,
no,
not just
significant.
There were a lot of people that moved from Syria and from the Middle East through Europe after the 2013 basically collapse of Syria. There were lots and lots of people that moved. It was like,
well, it was 2015, the big wave came.
Well, sure.
That hit Germany, Sweden. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, to this day in Germany, it's like 3 million people, right? And it was substantial. And of course, that imagery, you know, was very, very useful to the likes of Farage and getting Brexit through, which happened a year later. But the point that you're entirely correct on is that UK, and it's a really, really boring topic for a lot of people, but it's fiscal policy. And the UK government is in a really, really difficult situation. It can't borrow. And one of the biggest mistakes that Starmer's made in 2024 was the election promise not to increase any taxes. So now Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor, she's trying desperately to increase funding without borrowing too much because the UK state desperately needs to invest in things like infrastructure. But it can't do this while increasing taxes. So I don't know enough about Canada to truly compare it, but I do think the UK is in a financially dire situation. And Starmer is a moderate who was elected, and he just can't act as quickly as people would like. And people don't fully understand, you know, why he can't just make money from nowhere. And that's part of the issue. So I think there is a more dire situation in the UK financially, most likely. But I think the immigration thing is just used as an excuse for reform's agenda. But people are
on the taxes.
People are on
the taxes point as well. I think there's like it's very emblematic of Labour's larger, I guess, fuck-ups in the eyes of a lot of people, where, like, yes, they're not technically raising taxes, but they're also doing a whole bunch of, I guess, creative work around the edges where they are effectively raising certain kinds of taxes or doing unconventional taxes or that kind of thing to try and, but to a lot of people, anyone who's like staying up to date with it is just going to say, oh, they're raising taxes, which is not what they ran on. So it's like the worst of both worlds where they're not doing what they actually need to do to raise money for some like weird promise thing when no one really sees them as keeping it anyway. And like that's emblematic of, I think, a lot of Labour's like missteps.
No, I mean, Rachel Reeves is using inflation basically as a means of borrowing, right? She's being very, very creative. And I really respect her for doing that because no one can point at and say, hey, look, I can see taxes actually rising. Effectively increases taxes, but it's not really, openly a tax increase. I think it's very clever what she's done. A lot of problems also go back to, this is something that's probably, Destiny's going to be pissed off by for me bringing it up, but you know, Starmer kicking Corbyn out of the party, however much he's liked or disliked, he represented a certain wing of the Labour Party. And that wing has now become the Green Party. And it was incredibly predictable what's happened. And even more recently, he's prevented Burnham from becoming an MP because he sees him as competition, even though he could have been introduced into the government and made the government even stronger. And so this kind of insecurity that Starmer represents, I think, is actually the bigger thing that's just lost him support, because it's lost him support among people who have been natural supporters of him and actually wanted to really, really support him, and they simply can't. So he's just burnt so many bridges, but also on top of a really challenging time in which no government was going to succeed immensely. But the financial situation is really bad, and fiscal responsibility of any UK government right now is something pretty important. And there is a danger, of course, like with the Greens, that they pretend that their wealth tax will be enough. It clearly isn't enough. If you look at their policies, they're quite moderate, actually. You know, I think it's like a 2% tax, but it won't bring in very much. So what are they going to do? They're going to have to borrow, or they're going to tax the middle class, which they're not saying they're going to do, right? So this issue of fiscal responsibility is a scary one, because there are plenty of parties out there. I mean, look what Liz Truss did, who, you know, will screw up the whole UK economy and the country. So it's scary times.
Okay, I completely disagree with the idea that the especially Destiny's kind of heuristic approach where like real things actually matter. I think genuinely all that matters is optics, and until the kind of structural like reasons for why the Conservatives and Republicans in the Western world keep taking power over again over the Liberals, even though the kind of liberal dynamic in the world has like looks like it's going amazing, like genuinely, like we are making massive like successes everywhere basically where liberal stuff is being pioneered, is the fact that there are problems that liberal stuff can't fix. And we're not talking about the fucking like the thing that like Ezra Klein and shit talk about, but like just the idea that like male loneliness or stuff like that, like these societal cultural kind of things are like I think those are the type of things that actually translate really, really hardcore into the political kind of like economical shit. And people just cannot see that, because when they see these massive like economical things like an energy crisis or massive immigration things, they just immediately translate them into like why the political party is winning, when in actuality, if you just look at the trend in the last 20 to 30 years, it's always been in one direction, and all these like, you know, different problems aren't making that direction. The direction is happening alongside things that are kind of linearly scaling upwards. It's not like the energy crises that are happening. It's not the economical crises. It's these like cultural societal aspect crises that we are dealing with. And the liberal regime can't fix that. So what you have is you have these Republican and conservatives keep coming along saying, oh, I'm going to fix your shit. Like, I'm going to make it so you can have a job, or I'm going to make it so you can have like a family and a wife, or like, or stuff like that. And they, you know, they appreciate that. That feels like they'll fix it. Or like the parents in the world have a massive crisis where like kids are like having huge mental health illness and health issues, or they're, you know, lonely, or they're not going outside, or et cetera, like having to, and the internet and that aspect, and the societal social aspect of like dealing with, you know, fucking, I don't know, social media and so that. Like these, they provide very easy solutions to all these answers, and they aren't really like, they aren't like an economical kind of answer. Like, they're kind of just like an answer to a social cultural problem, I feel like. And if that doesn't change, like if those issues don't change, I think we're just going to keep going back and forth. And people will keep saying the next crisis or economical crisis or immigration crisis is the reason why we are where we are, when it's not.
No, I totally agree that like simplifying it down to a few problems, whether it be rhetorical or economic, I think is a mistake. I think there is this kind of perspective that's very doomer, that's basically pervasive in our societies at the moment, that in itself needs to change. But at the same time, certainly in the UK context, like there are 14 years of too few taxes being collected by the Tory government, and you can't just go, oops, oh, we'll just take all that money back now and then invest it back into infrastructure, into education, to healthcare. Like, that needs to be done. And that is a serious, substantial problem for the UK. And I don't know necessarily other countries. Like, I live in Germany now. I would say that they've got their balances of taxation about right here. So I think in Germany, I think you're more accurate, actually, in terms of it being kind of this this issue of mental health, this issue of a perspective that needs to change. And in that sense, I mean, that's why part of the solution is a more optimistic, more positive view and vision that a party needs to share, rather than just continuing the, you know, the whole doomer narrative of, yeah, things are terrible, we need to change everything. And I mean, it's happening both on left and right in say the UK right now, right? The Greens are saying everything's terrible and we need a revolution, you know, and the right's basically saying the same thing but with a completely different vision. And like the whole problem there is this kind of unhappiness with what we have and not respecting actually what we still have and what we still should preserve and respect. So I think it's both. I don't think it's one or the other in terms of, you know, perspectives, in terms of mentality. But I do think there is an economic side, certainly in the UK situation.
There's also the issue that all of the like infrastructure for the social side of it is something that like is not really from the UK. That is basically entirely imported from the US, and we have almost no control over it. As in, like, I think the most similar thing to the sort of crazy right-wing domestic stuff you have in the US is GB News, which is only like a recent thing. And that's maybe, I'm not even sure if it's comparable to Fox News, because some of the, like, is it Jesse Waters or whatever, is insane compared to even some of the craziest of GB News. But yeah, basically all of the like right-wing radicalization stuff and all of like the crazy stuff for the social side is being done through stuff like Twitter, which, I mean, we can't do anything about that other than if, like, just straight up banning Twitter, but that's not going to happen.
Isn't a lot of the UK mainstream media extremely, like, not far right, but very favorable to the right wing? Every time they cover, like, they cover left wing politicians with a much more negative slant. I mean, like, Murdoch is extremely powerful in the UK.
Even the BBC has had Nigel Farage on, like, Question Time, way more often than he deserves in terms of having his vote share. Okay, now Reform is starting to get a substantial vote share, but I'm talking before this. I'm talking about during his UKIP years. He was often on, because we have this news program called Question Time. It's meant to be a bit of a debate with a panel. And he was, and Reform in general has just been far overrepresented on those types of politicians because it's a bit sensationalist and, you know, it gets people watching. So, I mean, the intention we can question, but the overall effect is even the BBC has been leaning rightwards.
And that's because the world is leaning rightwards, so it makes sense. Like, the Western world has become more conservative the last, like, 20 years in terms of our overall perspective. Like, the progressive stuff, like, especially after 2020, the progressive, like, narrative got absolutely destroyed. Like, unless it's, like, gay rights and then, like, black people, I mean, I get less of a thing in Europe, but, like, everything that isn't that was absolutely nuked. And I think that had a massive effect because the left put a lot of political will into those things, and then, obviously, they got flat-footed, and now you have a kind of movement, and that's carrying forward as well.
And you know this meme that the right like to share, right, with someone moving further and further left and then saying, hey, look, how far away the centre is now and all this kind of thing. Actually, it's the complete other way around, right? We've moved further right, and then they're saying, hey, we're the centre ground, but it's actually just shifting what the centre ground is perceived as, even though actually politics is moving right. So I think you're right, and I think a lot of it's just to do with sensationalism. It just gets more clicks, and the media's become a lot more about getting clicks, advertising maybe, or I don't even know if it's just about that. It's about different media platforms keeping people's concentration for longer. But, I mean, in the UK, we also have the newspapers, and they're still significant, like the Sun newspaper and, you know, the Daily Fail, as we like to call it. And they've always, well, they've been very right-leaning for a while, and the Sun's owned by Murdoch, and, you know, they've been pushing that narrative. You can see that from the 1990s even, and they've been pushing the Brexit narrative for before Brexit, this kind of Euroscepticism. So, I mean, it's built on top of that foundation in the UK, and I think Twitter just accentuates those views.
Okay.
I wanted to say that the...
Wait, run them down. Wait, real quick, because I'm not going to do 12 hours of fucking British podcast. Run down your final thoughts, go. But yeah, go ahead, Zero.
Oh, I wanted to say that I initially joined because I wanted to say that Metaloid, I think, downplayed a bit how much anti-Eastern European sentiment there was in the UK at the time and how much it played a part in first getting the referendum passed and then the actual voting. But towards the end, I guess it was more concentrated a bit on the African and Asian immigrants, but like the big reason it even got to that point was because of Eastern European bigotry. Like I was in the UK for a few years around before Brexit, and there was a substantial different attitude towards the new European members and the immigrants from there compared to like Western European immigrants. And I wanted to ask you something else about U.S. politics, but maybe later.
What was it? Well, what was the other? Was the U.S. politics thing?
It was about like civil disobedience and stuff around the redistricting.
Okay. What was it? Okay, and then who else? Any other final thoughts from our people in here?
I guess I can. Okay. Go ahead.
And well, I was just going to have a kind of a positive note that, I mean, if Andy Burnham gets a seat, and if he did become Labour leader, I actually think he could make the difference. And as difficult as it would be to accept, if there was ever a Green Labour coalition, which I'd find hard to accept, but we are dealing with a country without proportional representation. It would be needed. I think there is a potential for a turnaround in terms of left-wing politics winning against reform in the next election. There are paths out of this situation.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And what would you have? Wait, Uni?
Who's I got left? One more.
Yeah. Hold on. What Uni doing?
Yeah. I guess two quick things. One, in terms of the Eastern European racism stuff, it's not that it didn't exist, but it was my impression at the time was very much that the like main source of animosity was just a general immigrant thing, and particularly targeted towards heavily Pakistani immigrants and not quite so much Indians, but to some extent that as well, and then North Africa and Middle East. So like, yes, there was some racism towards Middle Eastern, but it was like they were like considered, I guess, maybe B-tier immigrants as opposed to A-tier Western European immigrants. And then you had like F-tier was how, you know, people were seeing them from like Pakistan.
Well, in 2015, Nigel Farage said that Indian immigrants are better than Eastern Europeans. So
this yeah, we split. I would say most people that I know would split India away from most of the rest of like brown immigrants, and there's a bunch of reasons, but
okay,
they.
But you need. What's the stereotype of a Polish immigrant in the UK?
A hard worker.
I mean, I feel like that's largely and tradesmen as well. Tradesmen and NHS workers is what I've always known.
Well, that's probably what like it should stereotype. Be, but I mean, there was a lot made in right-wing media about Polish people involved in petty crime, involved in theft, bike theft, theft of roofs.
Did you say that the stereotype for Polish worker were tradesmen and NHS workers? What do you mean? When I don't know if there's a different thing for British and tradesmen. You mean like electricians and carpenters and stuff, or?
Yeah, plumbers, electricians, that kind of thing.
Okay.
I mean, I think that exists, you know, around the center of politics on the left, but in the right, there was definitely a push of a very negative image of Bulgarians and Poles, and they often complained because Tony Blair had opened the doors much earlier than most of Europe, I think, to Eastern European migration, and the numbers were higher than they expected, so it looked like it was out of control, and it was a big issue in the 2000s. So I don't, of course, it's complex, and there's multiple motivations and arguments the right have used. But I do think it is a good point that, you know, it was built on this dislike of Eastern Europeans and these stereotypes around petty theft and crime, which weren't
possibly. I think it's more so just like on during the time of Brexit itself, I feel like there was, especially right around the vote, there was more being made of immigration in general and sort of, you know, like North Africa and Middle East and with refugee crisis stuff. Like that was the kind of stuff that I feel like was being imminently focused on. So
yeah. I mean, it was the cherry on the cake, right? And there's the famous poster that Farage had, right? The Breaking Point poster. So, I mean, you didn't see many Polish people in that poster. There were refugees from 2015. It's not that there's one or the other. It's just that was building on already resentment towards Eastern Europeans. That definitely did exist. And, I don't know about today. Yep. I think people are distracted from that.
It's on a slightly brighter note than is the... if we're really lucky, maybe with all these new reform councillors, people's bins will start not being collected and they'll start really hating reform by the time the general comes around. Who knows?
We can only hope, yeah.
Well,
all right. Well, oh, there we go. Be careful.
Can I ask you about the US thing?
Sure. What about it?
Voting rights.
Is Moten still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you have something relevant that you want to say to the Bonger people, or?
It was a meme, but I'll say it. Wow. They're gone. I think the king needs to take over and set it the ship right. My loyal king, he is the greatest, and I'm tired of the parliament, so fuck him.
Jesus Christ. Okay. All right, what's up, Dirt?
So Is it like the Voting Rights Act was a big part of the civil rights movement? That's correct, right?
Yeah, I think most people would probably say so, yeah.
Then do you think that like the Voting Rights Act is like being basically eliminated with the in the South at least?
Not really. The biggest thing is that now you're going to see that there's just no more racial protection basically for how gerrymanders are done. So every Southern state will be gerrymandering out basically as much of the black vote as possible. Basically, if you're in the South and you're black, your vote's just not going to be represented very much or at all when it comes to the House of Representatives. And that's legal now.
Yeah. So in effect, wouldn't it be in effect like, or in effect, it would be gotten around what they intended. So the intent of the Voting Rights Act, as far as I understand, is to give representation to the people of the South, of the black people of the South.
And sure. We get to just get the, we're under the point. You're trying to build up a whole. Just get just yeah. go to your what's
so,
your point? Yeah.
So shouldn't like Democrats or like organizations be advocating for returning up the civil rights movement and the tactics that they employed to get those historic provisions, namely to civil disobedience?
I don't know. I don't know if there's the political will for it in the United States, and I don't know if I don't even know what we would do right now. I'm not sure.
I'm asking this because, like, I think yesterday or the other day, someone asked you, like, you said that protests don't seem to be working, and like the courts are going around.
The issue is that yeah. black people were not fucking retards, and they had real problems in life that they really needed their grievances solved for. White people in the United States are generally spoiled fucking losers that have had no real problems, and so they don't actually know how to fucking protest, right? So when black people were protesting in the South, they had meetings with each other, they strategized, they were trying to maximize for media coverage, they were applying pressure to politicians, and they were pushing for landmark, monumental legislation in the United States. When white people protest, we just cry about random shit, and we hope that we get enough retweets, and then maybe somebody like Elizabeth Warren does some fucking bullshit, and we all get to come in Congress, and that's it. So when you ask me that, it's hard to say, because like the civil rights era was like laser fucking focused on getting landmark legislation passed to address grievances of particular people that were led by intelligent, well-spoken members of society that were applying pressure to politicians to try to get certain things done, with the threat that if you don't, we're going to show up in your state and start protesting and you're going to look fucking bad and you're going to lose office. But we don't have the mind for politics anymore in the United States. White people or black people, anybody. Nobody has the mind for politics anymore. It's just senseless rioting and senseless protesting with no end action in mind, because both parties are the same and legislation doesn't matter and everything is broken and the cops are all corrupt or whatever, because everybody's it's all slop. It's all slopulism everywhere. So like, there's a world where what you're saying I think would work, but it's not. We don't have the culture or mind for it right now. I blame social media for it, and nobody wants to fix that, so fuck it all. But broad protests don't do anything when you don't have strong leaders that are pointing you in an actionable direction. Without that, I just don't think it does anything, in my opinion.
So you would first need like a proper platform, and then if that isn't met, to have then you can apply the measures like civil disobedience. Otherwise, it won't be effective.
Yeah, what are you civilly disobeying for? What's even the goal?
Well, the redistricting, maybe. I don't know.
Redistricting? What? How? Like, nobody even knows how the system works. Like, people don't realize that, like, but it, like, you can even see how white people engage with it and romanticize and fantasize about the fucking the BBC protests. Like, it wasn't actually MLK. That guy was fucking retarded. It was fucking Malcolm X. He was the one who was really threatening everything, and that's why the white people did it. No, it was people who were highly strategic with very particular strategic political aims. This isn't a fucking mystery. They write about it all the fucking time. MLK loved to fucking write, okay? This dude had a fucking MySpace, okay? He would have a million fucking blog posts on it. They wrote a ton of letters. They talked about how they strategized. They did all this shit, and they got their stuff passed that they wanted passed. But we don't have that aim or direction right now, so I just don't know what to... Yeah, nobody even knows how any of this shit works, right? How any of the parts of the system works. I don't even know what that... Yeah, I don't know.
I guess, like, maybe... tangible like thing that is related to this is like it was Memphis, right? That's the city that got carved up in Tennessee. Like, it's one of the biggest cities in the South, and it's majority black.
Mm-hmm.
And those people will effectively lose their representation in Congress through this redistricting. And I think that's like
was Tennessee
something that people can focus on. Like,
did they lose all their blue districts in Tennessee? Did they crack both of them?
I think so, yeah.
I think they cracked the bottom left one, which I think it was Memphis, right? And then that's gone, and then Nashville got even more diluted. Yeah. I don't know if they have one left or not. Maybe.
No, I think they're all right.
Yeah. So
the other day when you were looking at the map.
So I mean, what do you do now? Like, now you can, like, somebody in YouTube chat asked, Destiny, I hear this a lot, but people say Civil Rights Act is gutted. How much has been destroyed over the past 20 years? So the Voting Rights Act, basically part of it said that you can't draw districts to try to exclude races of people from getting to vote. And Alito said that that's gay as fuck, and that now you can do that. And that's what will happen now across the entire South as they redraw their districts. And you can bring on any fucking con law, fucking loser, to debate this. I'm 100% correct. That's every black district will be gerrymandered out of existence now, and there will be no way to challenge that in court. So that's what's going to happen. Legally, you have no recourse now. So now the only way to change that is we would either have to swap members of the Supreme Court, or we would have to amend the Constitution, because due to the fact that the Constitution is written in English, and the only people who are allowed to truly read the Constitution are the Supreme Court justices, and the fact that Alito is fucking illiterate, apparently, means that we either have to change the Constitution or have to change the people that read the Constitution. I don't think you could pass a Civil Rights Act again, or a Voting Rights Act, that would make it so that you can't district, so that you have to be sensitive to race while districting. Alito would say, no, that's unconstitutional. You can't do that because it's sensitive to race. You can't have a racial gerrymander. So that's gone now. So we either have to amend the Constitution or get a re-ruling by different justices. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. I think I mostly agree. And that's not really encouraging, though.
It's just like one of the annoying things. I even on Reddit today, the problem is just that everybody is just so fucking sloppulous doomered on fucking everything. Anytime there's a cop post, everybody's talking about how every single fucking cop is corrupt and evil. Every time there's a post on Congress or some bullshit, everybody's like, wow, they're saying the same thing. Oh, what was it? It was some fucking retarded shit on Israel about funding corn. It's like, oh, the Dems and Republicans are the exact fucking same. And then anytime you see every single part of society, oh, that's a business owner. Oh, he's corrupt and evil. Oh, those are policemen. Oh, they're covering for themselves while they're raping minorities. Oh, that's a guy with weird side ponytails. He's probably a Mossad Jew that's raping some fucking kids on Epstein's Island so he could blackmail politicians for Israel. Like, everything. Nobody has any trust in any fucking part of society. So how do you even begin to have a conversation about reforming anything? And then all the energy is on the conservatives, whose only goal is to destroy as much of the country as possible. So their job is easy, okay? They don't need, you don't need an architect to tear down a building. And then you've got the far left people who are trying to architect some fucking Marxist revolution. Who the fuck knows what their end goal is? And then those are the loud voices that we have right now in the United States of America. So
is it possible, then maybe you can't go against, like, the in the places where the Republicans control, like in the South, but are there more possibilities to redistrict unilaterally in safer blue states?
Yeah, you can try it, so, but I think the issue is that blue states, the issue is that blue states, okay, unilaterally disarmed, I think. I would have to go back and check all the constitutions, but I think that it is the case that most blue states, because they want to be so fucking fair, okay, they want to make sure that their asshole is equal opportunity to be fucked by anybody. Blue states were like, we're going to make it so that we don't partisan gerrymander, and we're going to put it in our constitution so that we can have a fair state. So the red states go, fuck the blacks, bye. And then the blue states go, okay, guys, we're going to counter them and we're going to fight them. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through our state assemblies, and then we're going to try to put up an amendment for our constitution. We're going to get the people to vote on it. We're going to try to change our constitution. And so they have so many more hurdles to jump through. So we just had a few illiterate dipshits on the Virginia Supreme Court basically disagree about whether or not a day is one day or 45 days. And so the whole Virginia redistricting thing is scrapped. It's gone. The Virginia redistricting thing is out. Okay. I don't know how many other blue states are going to run into similar problems, but it seems to be the case that that red states have an easier time just fucking doing it because they don't even make the pretense of trying to be fair. They know that they've got Twitter and Instagram to sell those messages, and the blue states are going to continue to fuck themselves. So, but at least thank God we have our moral high ground, and we're going to win the midterms. Thank God. Actually, that's it, bro. We're going to win the midterms so hard. Okay. Everything's going to be fine after we win the midterms. All right. Woo! Hell yeah. Right.
Hopefully. There was an interesting video by Vox with the Progressive Caucus head guy that might be interesting to compare with Ken Martin. And also they talk about like their platform. I think like the moderates or the majority of the Democrats need like a punchy, easy policy that they can advertise. Otherwise, they get attacked from the left with Medicare for all and from the right with take the immigrants out. So might be a good to contrast like what are the actual priorities of the liberals compared to like the lefties and the fascists.
Okay.
I posted the interview in chat if you want to look at it later.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time and
have fun. Be careful.
Bye.